Blog Talk Radio.
Special technique. Special technique of shadow boxing. Lead boxing analyst on the Cold Hard Truth on Sports website. That's the chtonsports.com. And remember that this show here is being brought to you by MRN Broadcasting, which is started by Clausel Mathis and Matthew Long. And be sure to catch our sister shows on Tuesday nights at 8:30 with the Cold Hard Truth on Sports, hosted by the Executioner Matthew Long, and the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show with Cali Mike, Clausel Mathis, Chi-Town, and the Mouth of the South, Tony Watley. We're pretty much going to get right into it. We had a busy weekend this weekend, and basically a busy week in the sport of boxing. We had a fight card on ESPN last night that was at the USF Sundome in Tampa, Florida, which had the main event as Keith Thurman defended his WBA regular welterweight championship against Luis Collazo. And I have somebody here on the line that was at the USF Sundome that was there reporting. And this is the one that basically started MRN Broadcasting and is on every Wednesday with the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show. And that's Clausel Mathis. You're on live.
Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah, man.
You hear
chilling,
me?
Chilling here. So. Yeah, he clear, man. You know, you were there, had a media pass. I was there for the weigh-in and everything, and got in there for the fight. So, you know, overall, what did you think about the whole card?
The whole card was very interesting. I saw a lot of talent there. I forgot the guy's name. He was fighting this guy from Detroit. I think his name is Nelson, something Nelson or something like that. He looked pretty impressive. Well, meaning in a sense of he wasn't winning the fight against the guy from Detroit, but towards the end, that knockout shot, it was deadly, and he was able to beat the guy from Detroit, the undefeated fighter. That looked good. Antonio Tarver Jr. looked pretty good. Those are the three guys that really stood out to me. Antonio Tarver Jr., the guy, Nelson, and Keith Thurman.
So Magic Man's son was able to, you know, get in there for the USF Sundome for a fight. Yeah, like you said, the upset that Willie Nelson had over the undefeated prospect Tony Harrison, and then you had Keith Thurman there against Luis Collazo. As far as, like, the overall crowd, what did you think about the overall crowd coming to that event?
I mean, it was a lot of people there. The total attendance, from my understanding, I have the exact number on me somewhere, but it's around 4186, I believe. I think that was the number one, 4184. Something like that. I mean, it was. They said they called it a sellout crowd. I mean, they did cover some seats and stuff like that. But I did feel that there was a lot of people there at the Sundome. But I mean, it wasn't necessarily sold out. But you can know basically that it was a nice crowd. Let's just put it that way. And the city of Tampa is starting to buzz about Keith Thurman. They're starting to get to know who Keith Thurman is. And you know, overall, it was a nice turnout.
Okay, that's good there that they had a, you know, a nice turnout. You know, for
4,186. I don't know if I don't necessarily know if that sellout crowd because they did cover some seats or something like that. But
right.
But you know, for the expected attendance, it was okay. You know.
Gotcha.
It was a nice setup for a boxing match. It was a nice setup for the boxing match. They did some nice, really good upgrades to the Sundome. It really looks nice.
Cool. So now, in reference to the main event there, where you had Keith Thurman against Luis Collazo, you know, basically, just go over the performance of those two fighters.
Well, I did a round-by-round analysis. It seemed at the beginning, round one particularly, Thurman, he was kind of, in a sense of patient but rushing. Like, I'm pretty sure his corner told him to be patient, don't try to rush, but then he kind of was eager to get near Collazo and try to throw some punches. Collazo, on the other hand, was very patient. He wasn't throwing any punches in the first round. Maybe Collazo was trying to feel, get a sense of, you know, what his power is going to be like. So it kind of seemed like Collazo was a little nervous. So Thurman was chasing him down at the beginning, but he was still throwing a few punches. So I gave round one to Thurman. Round two, Thurman was still pretty aggressive, cutting the ring off. Then you kind of see he was throwing a little bit more combinations. He was landing some shots. He was looking real good that second round. Collazo still was on a patient. He was on the defensive. Then round three came. Thurman, he was still looking somewhat impressive, using his jab well. He landed a really nice shot in that third round. Then Collazo started firing a little bit back. All right, and then Thurman still was getting some good body shots in on that third round. Round four comes around. Then Thurman kind of changes up a little bit. He was not necessarily cutting the ring off, but he was still pacing a little bit, throwing still good combinations, a few good body shots, and it seemed like Collazo was starting to wear down around that fourth round. He still was fighting hard, but you can tell looking at his facial and stuff like that, he was wearing down. So round one through four definitely was Keith Thurman by far. Round five came around. Thurman was throwing some combinations. Collazo seemed to look he was worn down. But Thurman began not to necessarily – he wasn't pacing. He was on the defense, and he was moving around. He was jabbing and moving in that fifth round. And then Collazo was the aggressor. But then that fifth round, that brutal body shot that Collazo hit Thurman, he hit him with a nice body shot, timed it well, everything. And that's what caused Thurman to start running. And actually the bell saved him. From losing that fight, from that body shot, from that brutal body shot from Collazo. Round six came. Collazo was clearly on the aggressive now because he had more confidence due to that body shot. He seemed like Thurman was still a little bit affected by that body shot, so he was clearly running on the bike in that sixth round, trying to protect the body particularly. Collazo going after the body. He threw some good body shots, but then Thurman was able to get some shots later in the round, they let Collazo know, hey, he's still in the fight. Round seven, Thurman was clearly back on the aggressive. It was an all-out. That was the most active round, round seven. Thurman was throwing punches. Collazo was throwing punches. Thurman was capitalizing on the counter punches from Collazo's punches. And Collazo started bleeding and heavily. And then Thurman actually from round seven kind of seemed to be recovered from that body shot. Now round eight, I thought everything was good. Everybody was about to go. Thurman was in his corner getting ready, but Collazo quit because he was bleeding too much, particularly around the eye. And I was pretty shocked. It had a sense of I was trying to understand why Collazo quit. I mean, he wasn't. I mean, you could see he was wearing down, but you could still see he was throwing some really good punches, really active in the fight, particularly in that seventh round. That seventh round was his best. It was a pretty good round for Collazo. I mean, I thought Thurman won the round, but Collazo, you know, he was in the fight. I mean, he was still, you know, trying to win. So right. I don't know what happened. Yeah. Why did he quit? I mean, it's just something that's odd about that. But then the fight ended basically, and Thurman won.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the cut in his eye basically, you know, got in the way of his vision way too much, and they pretty much, you know, kind of like played it safe in reference to that and not risk any more damage, you know, to Collazo, so that's probably why they went forward and watching the fight. Before I, like, you know, continue on with, you know, questions about the fight and after the fight, just letting y'all know that we have 336 live on the line. 336, tell us your name, where you calling from.
Greg, what's up, JB?
Yo, what's going on, my man?
How you doing?
Yeah, doing good here, doing good. Just here with Clausel Mathis, that was on live at the USF Sundome last night for the Premier Boxing Champions card on ESPN last night, and you know, he just went over the round-by-round analysis of the main event between Luis Collazo and Keith One Time Thurman. And just going to continue here with that, Clausel, you were there for the post-fight press conference, and You know, you ask him one or two questions. You ask Thurman, it is one or two questions following up. So you wanted to expound on that?
You talking about before the fight or after the fight?
After the fight.
After the fight, I was in the press conference. I was trying to get a feel for what's next for Keith Thurman. We all know that he wants the Mayweather fight. But he told me the day before the fight at the weigh-in, on video, that he's probably not looking forward to that fight. I mean, he explains that Mayweather has his own thing that he's doing, so he's going to do his thing. But, you know, on ESPN, you know, he's saying he wants to fight him really bad and stuff like that. And like, well, he didn't say, quote, I mean, he didn't say it quote unquote, but he said that, you know, hey, come for my O. With that said, I had asked him, if there was, excluding Mayweather, is there anybody else that you would like to fight in the welterweight division? And he told me he would like to fight Amir Khan. That was the first name that he came up with. Now, he's been talking about Amir Khan for a while. He said he was the most overrated. He said he was the most overrated welterweight in boxing. I asked him that with a follow-up question. I said, is he still the most overrated welterweight in boxing? He said, I believe so, that quote-unquote. So he's looking to try to fight Amir Khan. That's number one. But he's open to fighting Sean Porter. Now, he's not open to fighting Errol Spence. He said about Errol Spence, I asked him a question about Errol Spence. He said that, you know, he hasn't paid his – basically, he said he hasn't paid his dues. I mean, he hasn't fought any ex-world champion at all in the welterweight division. He basically hasn't fought the right enough people to get to his level to get a shot at Keith Thurman, you know. So that's what Keith Thurman's saying, because he's saying that he paid his dues to get championship-level fights, to get A-level fights, and he feels that Errol Spence should do that. And once he does that, then he'll be entertaining the option of fighting him. But he did say on ESPN a few weeks ago that, you know, if the fans really want to see it, they can see it, you know. But he had a lot more interesting things to say about Errol Spence, which is on the CMT Firestorm page. And I did ask him, I said, hey, you know, Floyd had a belt available if you fought Errol Spence, and Thurman was like, you know, it's just a ploy. You know, if he really wanted to give some prize, he could have given $10 million up or something like that. I saw it on tape. And, you know, so the fact that a belt would be available if he fought Errol Spence doesn't really matter to Keith Thurman. He's not still going to fight Errol Spence at this moment in time. He's looking, trying to fight Mayweather, number one, and number two, Khan, number three, possibly to Sean Porter, maybe even a Cale Brook. I do remember him saying in past interviews he's open to fighting a Cale Brook.
Oh, okay. Now, I'll probably, you know, run through those possible matchups, you know, a little bit later on. For those that are listening to the show, you can catch those interviews that Claus has with Keith One Time Thurman and also with Luis Collazo, you know, before and after the fight. That's going to be on YouTube at Matt Long Sports. Is that correct? Putting, you know, Greg back on the line here in a minute. Hey, Greg, do you have any questions for Claus that was at the event?
Yeah, hey, so before the fight, what was Keith saying? I mean, because everything I read, he was basically making like he was going to walk through Collazo. I mean, he always say the right things, but in the fight, I mean, I'm like, Collazo had him in trouble. I mean, Keith wants the payday, but I still don't think that Keith is what everybody make him out to be. I think the reason he don't want to fight Earl because, you know, Earl will expose him. And I think that by Earl not fighting, quote-unquote, a lot of ex-world champions, that will really put a dent in his armor if he loses to Earl. So, of course, he's going to make it like, yeah, Earl is not on my level. But in hindsight, he know that Earl is. He know that Earl will be a tough fight for him, a tough matchup for him. I mean, I wasn't impressed. Where's Collazo ranked in the top? What is he, about 30-something?
You're wrong. Well, I mean, I saw, like, in some websites, he was, like, around 30-something for welterweight. So. So he was like within the within like the 30 to 40 range.
Right. So that's my opinion why he don't want to fight Earl.
Well, yeah, I mean, you may be very well right. I can't read in his head, but he's clearly not wanting to fight him from the standpoint. He's making a, I mean, people can say that's an excuse that Keith Thurman is making, that, that he wants to say Earl Spence ain't paid his dues or something like that. Maybe that's an excuse that Keith Thurman's fan. But he did use that outline. He said if the fans want to see it, and he can't fight Mayweather or any of these other guys, he'll fight Earl Spence. That's what he said. Because, so hopefully we may see it. You never know. We may see it. And Earl Spence is really trying to get at Thurman. Well, Earl Spence trying to get somebody in the top 10, but to try to put his name on there. And a lot of people are saying that Earl Spence may be the future in boxing right now. So, you know, Freddie Roach said that. So, and you may be right. I don't know. I can't read Keith Thurman's mind. I'm going to come at it from a reporter standpoint. But it's just interesting. You know, he was calling out Pauly Malignaggi on the come up, and Earl Spence is calling him out now. So let's see how Keith Thurman responds to that. Now, it was something else on my mind. I can't even remember what was on my mind. I mean, I don't necessarily – a lot of people say that Collazo exposed Thurman. I thought Thurman didn't do bad in that fight. I mean, that he just got caught with a body shot. Like, if he fought Mayweather, I don't think Mayweather would connect a body shot like that, like Collazo did. I don't think – because Mayweather's more – he uses his feet, he jabs, but he doesn't really the thing about Mayweather right now is he doesn't use combinations. Like, he'll use his footwork, but when he's hitting, he only hits like one shot and then backs out. He doesn't like, whereas when he used to, he hit like a combination and then come out. So, and that may be because of age, or it could be because he doesn't want to exchange. Whereas Collazo's kind of guy, he was going to exchange and with Thurman. So I don't think if Thurman fought Mayweather, I don't think he would be invulnerable for one of those body shots that Collazo gave him. I think though, if Thurman fought Mayweather, Mayweather may still have the edge, but it would be an interesting fight because both guys can use their footwork. And that's what Thurman showed in that fight last night. He was able to show in the later rounds, maybe that fifth to eighth round or sixth to eighth round, that he can use his foot. He has good footwork to the point where he can keep up with the Mayweather, maybe cut the ring off, force Mayweather to move, and he may have the quickness to keep up with the Mayweather. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see who Keith Thurman's going to fight next. I'm very interested to see.
At one point, Keith was looking a little gassed to me. I mean, I was starting to question his condition at one point in the fight.
At what round? I don't know. I don't necessarily know. He didn't look unconditioned to me. I don't know what round you thought he was like a little gassed.
I mean, I don't know.
Was it after the body shot? Because that body shot took a lot out of him.
Yeah, and then after that, it was like he didn't. You know, maybe that was the round. You know, maybe it was the body shot that affected him. You know, because I mean, after that, he was pretty much.
Yeah.
You know,
but
he wasn't trying to engage at all.
Yeah, it seemed like the seventh round, from six to seven. Well, obviously. Round, he's trying to recover from that body shot. Seventh round, he seemed like he kind of recovered, and maybe he was using a lot of his footwork in that sixth or seventh round, particularly the seventh round. Maybe he was using the footwork to try to prevent getting hit like that again, one, or he was just trying to show to people, hey, you know, I got footwork. I can move. I can use my feet well. I don't know. I was very impressed with his footwork in that six to seven rounds, that range.
I don't know.
You know?
I don't know. I don't know about that one because, there's footwork, but it's how you use the footwork. I mean, from what I saw, it looked like the footwork that was used in that sixth and seventh round was in order to get away from Luis Collazo's attack. When you see like the first few rounds of this fight, when Keith is on the offensive, he's basically stationary, throwing his punches. he could throw combos, but it's not like he's throwing a combo and then stepping off to the side and then throwing another punch or throwing a couple of, you know, a couple of combos and then stepping out. So he goes in, 1-2, or 1-2-3, and then stepping out. It's just that he looks flat-footed. And one of the biggest critiques of him is that with him being flat-footed like that, if he gets caught with a, like the thing with Collazo, getting caught with a body shot because he's right there stationary waiting for somebody to hit him. So if he opens himself up, then he gets caught with something serious like that, and he reacts the way that he did.
Yeah, you could be right. I'm not sure. You could be right. But I think overall, I mean, I'm pretty sure he's not going to fight Mayweather next. So he knows. He knows. I asked him. I said, hey, you know, were you impressed with this fight? And what are the things you need to improve? So he felt like he had some things he needed to improve. The Nation, I believe, felt like there's some things that he needs to improve. And I think he's going to go ahead and do that. I mean, he's going to work on some things, try to get better. Hopefully, you know, be ready for a Amir Khan fight. And I really regret not asking Collazo. I asked Collazo some questions, but I should have asked him who was better in comparison between Thurman and Amir Khan.
Yeah.
I forgot to ask him that. I should have asked him. I regret that, but I'm interested to see what his answer would have been on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, that's all I really have to say. I mean, it was a good fight for the most part. It was a good fight.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably be, you know, interested in the fight between Thurman and Khan as far as like for the, you know, the WBA championship that Thurman has. Like I said, Khan is like one of the top-rated welterweights out there. You know, he's basically been there against guys like, well, like you said, Collazo, against Devin Alexander, and against other fighters as well at the 147-pound division. So that would be, you know, a good matchup for fight fans to see if that happens. In reference to, like, Keith Thurman fighting Sean Porter, to me personally, I've been waiting for that fight since last year. I've been, as far as like, you know, two young prospects that they had out there. At the point, this was like after I saw Sean Porter defeat Pauly Malignaggi, I was thinking that Keith Thurman and Sean Porter would fight, but that hasn't, you know, come to fruition as of yet. So I'm still waiting on that one. And like you said, Keith Thurman isn't really interested in fighting Errol Spence, and I don't think, you know, he's really going to do that, especially if it's going to be in September. He was talking about trying to fight Floyd Mayweather in September within that week's time, but he really wasn't interested in fighting Spence after 8 weeks' time. So that was kind of interesting right there.
Hmm.
Hey, Greg, you have anything on the...
The other fight on the card?
Yeah, Harrison... Well, like Harrison Nelson. How about that one?
It was a good fight. I mean, the kid from Detroit, he was in control earlier. And then after that, it seemed like he just stayed in front of him a little too long. I thought he was the most skillful fighter of the two, but the most skillful fighter doesn't always win. I mean, I just think that he got careless staying in front, and in my opinion, if they would fight again, I think he would correct his mistake, you know, and, you know, outbox him and not be so stationary in front, you know, to be hit.
Yeah, because, yeah, it surely looked like he was basically winning the fight, and he was well on his way to, like, getting a decision in that fight. It's just that he, you know, opened himself up and got caught and then basically was knocked down there. And after he was knocked down, he tried to get up and tried to collect himself, but the referee, you know, wouldn't let him do that. So that basically stopped the fight right there.
Yeah, I think the ref did the right thing because, in my opinion, he was truly hurt, you know, whenever you turn to the ropes, you know, and you're not even facing the ref. I mean, the ref had no other thing to do but stop the fight. You know, that was the right thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. So that was the thing on that one. So you might be right, though. Maybe those two may be able to get into a rematch later on this year. So we might look for that. In the meantime here, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into a commercial break, and then I'm going to see if I can get the guests to come on the line. So just bear with us here as I go into a break.
Okay.
The Cold Hard Truth on Sports, every Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. on the MRN Broadcasting Channel on Blog Talk Radio. The Executioner, Matthew Long, talks about different topics in sports, which include football, basketball, baseball, hockey, boxing, and more. The Executioner also invites special guests to talk about different topics within the sports world. So be sure that you catch the Cold Hard Truth on Sports every Tuesday night at 8:30 p.m. on the MRN Broadcasting Channel on Blog Talk Radio. Football talk like you've never heard it before. Possibly one of the funniest podcasts in sports today. That's right, the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. We have Cali Mike, Chi-Town, Carcel Mathis, and the Mouth of the South, Tony Watley. They give you a different perspective of football that may not be found anywhere else. You may also catch the callers with some classic lines as well.
There's a blackout level.
What is it?
I don't know. I don't know exactly what it is off the top of my head.
Okay, I know you're in front of your computer right now. Look it up.
I'm about to look it up right now, all right?
National blackout level.
I never said national blackout level, liar.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Okay, Florida blackout level. Whatever blackout level you want to look up, look it up. You can't compare a fifth-year quarterback to a 20-year quarterback. How do you compare Cam Newton to Peyton Manning? That's impossible.
I don't even think Cam Newton's going to get a contract extension.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the worst franchise in the National Football League. The worst franchise in the National Football League.
The difference between Jameis Winston, Matt Ryan, and Cam Newton is Jameis Winston has the ability to lead a team to a championship.
Once again, people, the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show every Wednesday night on the MRN Broadcasting Network. Better than diamond rings. That's why
we're here to sing football. Jameis Winston is just stupid.
All right, folks, we are back here on the Boxing Source Radio Show live on Blog Talk Radio. The hotline is 347-237-5539. Once again, 347-237-5539. And make sure that you actually catch the podcast on boxing.fm, powered by Exclusive Tracks. So make sure you're on the lookout for that. We are here live. We are waiting on our guests to come in to talk about boxing here. But in the meantime, we still have Carcel and Greg on the line. So is there, like, any other topics you wanted to talk about?
Mayweather, who do you think is going to fight September 12th?
Right now, I would say the favorite is, I would say Amir Khan, actually, because he's the top contender for the couple of belts that he has. But in the meantime, actually, we just got our guests on the line here. So I'm going to bring them on the line here. Folks, we are having the our guest here who's coming in from New Mexico. He is the former super welterweight champion of the world. That is Austin No Doubt Trout. What's going on there, brother?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
Hello?
Doing good. Yeah, you're on here. You're on live. So, yeah, just to start off here, I just wanted to talk about, you know, your beginnings as the fighter coming out of New Mexico, because, you know, we really don't necessarily hear, you know, much about any athletes coming out of New Mexico, you know, in the boxing scene or any other sports scene out there. So how is that?
Well, I mean, being from New Mexico, of course I know all my fellow legends. My man Johnny Tapia, Danny Romero, Bob Foster was one of the best light heavyweights of all time. You know, straight out of New Mexico. And, of course, I know because I use that as the hope and something to cling on to, saying they can do it, I can do it. So, and you're not to mention football. We got my man Arian Foster from Texas. We got some stars out of New Mexico.
Yeah. You may have a few out there. It's just that with you know, New Mexico being a state that's not as, you know,
right, popular,
mentioned as far as, yeah, as popular and stuff like that, and not that many big cities out there, you know, other than Albuquerque that they have there. And, of course, you're coming from Las Cruces, right?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
So, yeah, so you have those, yep, so you have those two cities right there, and those are, you know, the two cities of note basically there. But other than that, you really don't hear that much coming from that state. So, yeah, you mentioned,
yeah,
you know, the fighters.
There's been a plan to try to change that. Yeah, we're trying to change that, because we do have a lot of athletes, but it's, like you said, it's very unheard of. You know, if with maybe we could shine some light on the state and get more national attention and see what that can do for us.
Yeah, gotcha. And next thing I wanted to get into was, you know, you coming up in the career and stuff like that, and, you know, going through a winning streak and coming up in the ranks in the super welterweight division, and then you eventually won your first world title in 2011. So if you can, you could touch on that fight where you won the super welterweight championship.
I was actually coming off a year layoff because, being number one, I had to fight the champion or lose my spot. And so, long story short, there was really a big circus and circles going around involving the belt. But my next fight coming out of a year layoff was for the title against Rigoberto Alvarez. And it had to be in Mexico, you know, Guadalajara, which was a wonderful experience, actually. You know, they really love their boxing out there. And, you know, I actually had to knock off some rust, but I was still, you know, too slick for him to really touch me. So it was a really ugly fight, to be honest. Nothing special. But the only special part was I won the world title, you know, in his backyard. And, you know, I went for Gusta. I tried to beat his ass, you know, type deal. But, I mean, it was definitely...
Yeah, but that was like a near shutout right there, though.
Yeah, it was. You know, he wouldn't go down, but he wasn't trying to really come at me or nothing like that. So, you know, I had to go at him, but he's a tough cat. He's really a middleweight, junior super middleweight. But really, to get the belt, I really wanted the belt to get the names, and that's what ended up happening. So it was a blessing to get that belt. And, you know, that's kind of my mindset still again. I feel like that hungry kid trying to get a belt to get the names again.
Right. So, yeah, once you became the hunted, so to speak, winning that super welterweight title, you were facing other big names there. I mean, later on you had that fight against Delvin Rodriguez in 2012, and then the eventual fight near the end of the year at 2012 against Miguel Cotto. That was in his backyard, basically, and I know that was an interesting fight. So you could touch on that, how you fought basically at, you know, in his home arena. That was his home arena for like many years.
Well, you know, it was the highlight of my life, and one of the nights that I'll never forget. And just thank God every day that I was able to go through that and to be able to come out victorious was just icing on the cake. It was really just being there was the blessing in itself. And then, you know, to be able to perform on that stage and that level and be able to see my name in the light, you know, I mean, it's really no words to describe it, but it's something I'm trying to get back. I'm trying to get back to that day. Maybe a different setting, a different time, and different opponent, but, you know, the magnitude of it and the historical aspect of it would be you know, amazing. And that's also now part of the motivation what I'm working towards, you know. I always had the inspiration by my family, by my kids, you know, by just a better life for them. Now to get back to that feeling, you know, the money is definitely a good inspiration. The belts are a good inspiration. But yeah, to be down in one of the, you know, a legacy type fights and to be involved in a few of them, something that they'll talk about for a long time. So that's also my motivation to get back to the Madison Square Garden against Miguel Cotto, so to speak.
Now, yeah, if we see a rematch there between you and Miguel Cotto, you know, by sometime next year, that would be very interesting to see if he could bring it back there at Madison Square Garden, I guess, maybe June or, you know, July of next year, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Literally, I was also speaking figuratively. You know, I don't know. I would love to take that shot at his belt at 160 if he wants. And he comes in at 154, and he'll probably say something like, well, I want it at 154. But, okay, you know, I'm a junior middleweight anyway. But you know, even if it's not Cotto, you know, I want him to be chasing, you know, ghosts or nothing like that. But there's plenty of fights that may be made, and with the right maneuvering, I feel numerous mega fights that can be eventually built up to just in the junior middleweight division alone. Mayweather's about to leave, so you know we're gonna start fighting.
Yeah, those belts will be open too. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Going into my next thing here. You did have a couple of battles between two highly rated super welterweights there, and that's Canelo Alvarez and Errislandy Lara. Now, the fight against Alvarez, I was kind of hurt because you took the fight against Canelo Alvarez in Texas where they had open scoring, and I don't like when the fight has open scoring. Yeah.
But I really don't like that because
kind of like takes off the suspense of the fight, though. But I really thought that you took that fight because Canelo was basically mainly flat-footed for most of the fight, and you were able to still do your thing for the course of that fight, you know. So,
you know, I'm trying to work back to a rematch or to deserve the rematch, if you will. You know, hopefully I get back late August. I'm training now for something. And yeah, I would love to come back, right back at the end of the year.
Yeah, no doubt there. Now, we have a few other – we have a caller in here that's here with me. That's Greg. Hey, Greg, did you have anything to ask, No Doubt?
Yeah, I got a few questions for No Doubt. What's up, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
And I know from experience that El Paso, Las Cruces, and that area is very rich in boxing. One of my partners, he was stationed in El Paso, so I know that you guys, you may not have made the media stage as a whole, besides you, Tapia, and Romero, but I know it's very rich there. So you guys keep
up
the work.
Oh, but, thank you, man.
But I got a couple questions for you. Like one of my first questions is the Laura fight. When you fought Laura, why is it so?
Hold on.
Hello.
Tim.
Oh, you didn't. Hey, Greg. You didn't get
I'm
that
sorry.
Question.
You were trying to.
Hold on, Greg. You there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
What makes it so tricky with Laura opposed to everybody else?
Laura has that timing, distance, and those two, you know, mastering those two in itself, I mean, you can do what you want. You know, he can move in and out wherever he wants, and he can time that left hand perfectly. You know, I felt like... looking back, you know what I mean? You think of it, what you could have done this, could have done that. There's really nothing I can say. I had a great camp. I worked very hard. I was in great shape. We had a game plan. But Lara imposed his will that night. He was definitely the better man. You know, I would attribute to his footwork and his distance and his timing.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I think he had some issues there with his phone there, because it seems like he's off the line. Yeah, he was able to hear the answer to that question there. And I think there was like one other thing that, you know, I was also interested in. You know, over the past few weeks, I've heard that somebody else in the junior middleweight division was interested in making a fight with you, and that's one of your brothers here, Julian Williams, J-Rock. Have you gotten any news on that?
No, I think something like that could get down, you know, by the end of this year. I want to get something in August, and then I don't mind getting in there with Julian Williams or Charlo or, you know, some of these other cats that really, like I've always said, they ain't going nowhere. But, you know, I want to make sure that they pay for it. And, you know, I think that's possible at the end of this year. Absolutely. I mean, just, you know, keep it respectful. Still coming at his head.
Right, right. I see that Greg has basically got back on the line here. Yeah, Greg, you on.
All right, man, appreciate it, man. I guess I hit a bad area. But as I was saying, why is it like nobody really likes facing Laura? Is it that, is it his timing, his trickery, I mean, his footwork?
He's a very great amateur style, but he's very effective, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not going to make for a great fight, and it's not going to, you know, be something easy to crack. You know, you got to make him uncomfortable, but if you could eat 20 of those left hands like Angulo did, you know, then I think you'd be all right.
Okay. What about now the young guys, the Charlo brothers, the J-Rocks? I mean, you willing, or have you had any opportunity to fight any of those guys?
No, we're talking about mapping it out by end of this year with a fight with either, you know, one of the Charlo twins, or, well, I'm one trying to fight with Kena, I believe, or with J-Rock, you know what I mean? And if I can't really think of anybody else who would make him a good money fight. And so who would pay what for which one? You know what I'm saying? We definitely gonna have to bump. But let's get some money out of this.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm gonna take some out of it. You know what I mean? Might as well get paid.
Yeah, because looking forward is like the Canelo and Cotto is already locked. So I'm just
not to mention
that.
On some real talk, being with Al Heyman and this whole bullshit lawsuit that De La Hoya has, a fight with Canelo ain't never gonna happen.
Right.
If you look at the rankings, I'm number 3, right under Lara and Canelo. But it didn't matter if I was number 1 champion. My rematch with Canelo, that's gonna do. I don't know. When he signs with Al Heyman, I guess he can get it.
Right. Doing your thing, man, and whoever you fight towards the end of the year, we'll be looking forward to it.
Hey.
Yeah,
I appreciate
you.
That, man.
Yeah, we would definitely be looking out for you on you know, the fight cards there. If you fight, you know, one of the Charlo brothers or J-Rock, any one of those guys. You know, I know that you'll definitely show out once that fight happens to, you know, give the crowd something to, you know, look forward to, basically.
Absolutely. We all got to be excited about something, you know what I'm saying?
Gotcha. Just seeing here, before I like let you go, see that I was able to contact you on social media, so you could basically plug your sites on social media here right quick. Yeah, Austin, you on? Hello?
Yo.
All right, yeah, Greg, you on? Hey, Austin, you on? You still on? I think he dropped out there. Yeah, I was going to get him to basically plug his social media pages there. You basically can follow him on Instagram at No Doubt Trout and on Twitter at No Doubt Trout. So you'll be able to follow him and get updates on, you know, when his next fight will be and stuff like that. And actually, there was like another guy that I would have been interested in to see if he would be able to fight, and that's Cornelius Canine Buttridge, that has one of the titles out there at super welterweight. So, and I'm not sure if Canine was able to, you know, get that. He was slated to fight somebody for one of the title that he has, but he suffered a cut in training, so I don't know if that fight's still.
He's still gonna fight the Charlo kid. They just postponed it, so that fight is still supposed to be happening.
Maybe it might be undercard in the September thing for Floyd. So we'll be waiting on that. Once again, folks, the number to call in live is 347-237-5539. That is 347-237-5539. You press number one key to get on queue, and you'll be able to be live on the show. Moving in here before we get into the overtime session, which will be at 8:30. I had a few articles out there that are on the CHT on sports, and one of them is like a basic two-part series on what's to come here for the rest of the year. You do have something here with, you know, Antonio Tarver as the heavyweight going against Steve Cunningham. Both of those guys are within the top 10 or 15 in the heavyweight division. So that'll be an interesting fight. I'd say that is like a toss-up fight, actually, between Tarver and Steve Cunningham there. And that's going to be pretty much in the month of August. You have anything to say on that one? Hey, Greg, you won't?
Yeah, I thought you was talking to the other gentleman. Yeah, I mean...
Nah.
Tarver, he still came. I mean, in my opinion, he still... I mean, you never can count him out. And every time he comes to fight, even when you think it's over by looking at his age, he always put on a good show. So, I mean, as long as he can continue to do that, I mean, he's still worth the price of admission. I see him a little more active if he's going to fight, but his last couple of shows, I mean, he didn't look bad.
Right. Tarver did score, you know, that knockout victory sometime last year. And then he was basically talking about, you know, after this, maybe getting a shot at one of the heavyweight championships. But the thing is that, you know, all of the championships are, you know, taken by, you know, Deontay Wilder and Vladimir Klitschko. And with Klitschko basically signed a first bid fight to, you know, fight is number one contender for the WBO championship, Tyson Fury. And that will be in October 24th. And I'm actually looking forward to that fight because, I mean, that's something where you actually see a champion fighting, you know, one of the best fighters within that division. So I'm thinking that one is going to be a barn burner because Wilder is like the best heavyweight out there. And you could basically that Tyson Fury is, you know, probably top two or three below him.
Right.
So,
did you see where they were talking about giving Wilder $2 million to fight Shannon Briggs?
Well, I did see that article. They said that for him to fight on September 5th. However, it seemed like, you know, after Wilder's win against Eric Molina, they were basically saying that they were trying to put him on a path to get that fight negotiated between him and Alexander Povetkin, who's number one contender for his title, but that is going to be next year. And in the meantime, as far as like a stay busy fight, instead of it being September 5th, it's going to be September 26th. And they were planning on putting Wilder on Premier Boxing Champions for that date. So I'm not sure if that thing with Shannon Briggs on September 5th will happen. But I would really like to see that fight, just to see Shannon Briggs out there against Wilder. If he's just going to, you know, fight somebody that's not within the top 10 or 20, then fight Shannon Briggs, who, you know, basically has, you know, talks a lot and talk up a fight.
Right. I agree. I mean, if you look at everything that Shannon does, from the Beyonce Wilder to the way he talks, he's deserving of a good payday, you know. And I really think if he get a shot against one of those guys, he'll fight hard. He will not lay down. And I think it'll be an interesting fight.
It would be an interesting fight. I mean, something to see for, you know, the next, you know, for the few rounds that they'll be out there.
Right. Because what they were saying is Shannon, he still has the punching power. So one shot, the fight could be over. I mean, on either end. That's
right.
One thing with Shannon. And if Shannon is in shape and he appears to look in shape from all the footage that you see, I mean, that was one of his biggest Achilles when he was active, is his conditioning. Now he looks better as an older Shannon than he did when he was younger, because to me, he never really took it seriously as far as his conditioning.
Right. Because, like, you know, in some things there, it looked like Shannon Briggs getting to his fights a little bit overweight. But now he's, you know, mainly staying in shape, staying in the weight room, getting training in here and there. And so he's not necessarily going to play around if he gets, you know, that shot for a heavyweight championship, you know, specifically against Deontay Wilder. And we've seen that Deontay is open to getting hit, you know, with a few good shots. So if he eats one from Shannon Briggs, I don't know if he's going to be able to, you know, take it and keep going forward, you know.
Right. Maybe we need to try to get Shannon on and ask him a few questions. Because, like, now, I really think he's serious, and I think if he gets a shot, he's going to make it worth his while. I mean, I haven't heard about him having no financial woes, but maybe that's part of his ambition coming back in shape, trying to get a title shot, because he wanted everybody to take him seriously.
Right. Yeah, and then he got his, you know, whole little thing with this saying there. Let's go, champ! But that's
right.
Actually a movement. So I think that's like a charity movement that he's doing with that theme. So that's pretty good. But I mean, like I said, if he fights either, you know, Deontay Wilder or Vladimir Klitschko, he'll have a few fans out there cheering for him. Though we have another person here on the line with this. We got 813-784. What's going on? 813-784, you live? What's going on there, man?
It's going good. I didn't catch
what y'all
were talking about.
We were talking about, you know, Deontay Wilder here that's going to... His plans are basically a PBC card on September 26th, and then after that, defend his WBC heavyweight championship against Alexander Povetkin, as Povetkin is the number one contender for that belt.
Have they decided who he's going to fight on at the end of September?
No, not yet. I was saying, my first inclination would be Chris Areola. Yeah, I know, right? But maybe you'll see him fight, you know, somebody else that's, you know, maybe within the top 15 or 10 within the particular sanctioning body. But like we were saying, it'll probably be interesting to see him fight Shannon Briggs for that championship.
Shannon Briggs ain't fought nobody in like a decade. Since he won the interim belt, he hasn't fought anybody. The guys that he's fought, I think the last guy he fought was like 23-21. Like he has a 50-50 record. Like, and I think that was in Panama. Like he couldn't even get the sanction to fight in the U.S. anywhere.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, he should stick to reality television and social media. I don't know if Briggs is, I mean, he has an interim belt, but he hasn't been defended against anybody significant. The guy, and again, that was a vacated belt that Antonio Tarver vacated so he could go and fight that cruiserweight fight. He vacated the belt.
Version of a heavyweight championship they have. Briggs has one of those minor heavyweight championships, and yeah, he really hasn't, you know, been able to fight anybody else of note. And it seems here that yeah, he fought somebody last year that was like 300 pounds for, you know, last year. So,
yeah,
man,
it was a note.
It'd be interesting to see what happens out of it, but he'll need to do something to get in the ring with somebody of note, probably before getting into the ring against a Deontay Wilder or Vladimir Klitschko. That's the thing on that one. In the meantime here, we're about to go into overtime here in under 2 minutes. So if you're listening on Blog Talk Radio and you want to be able to listen to the show after 8:30, you have to call in at 347-237-5539. Once again, 347-237-5539. So the thing is that, you know, you have that going on. And also, you know, we basically have it lined up for Miguel Cotto and Saul Canelo Alvarez to fight on November 21st for Cotto's middleweight championship there. So that's going to be, you know, the last, basically the super fight that we're going to have there for the end of the year. And I know that me and you, Matt, talked about this fight, and we had some differing opinions on that. So you wanted to talk
about
that,
did
you know,
a little bit.
As far as, you know, real early preview on Cotto Canelo?
Yeah, Cotto Canelo, I have Cotto winning that fight. Because Cotto, I think, is more, obviously he's more seasoned, veteran. He's able to get around guys in the ring that can hit. And I think that in this fight, he has the edge on Canelo. I don't think Canelo has hit his prime yet. See, that's where the big difference in opinion, I think, was. I don't think Canelo has hit his prime. He disposed Kirkland really quick, but I don't think any of us expected Kirkland to even win that fight. I mean, Kirkland had a puncher's chance, but Canelo was a better boxer. Canelo had the youth, the speed, and you know, everything else on his side. Kirkland was just going to stand in front of him and block punches with his face. And we know that's detrimental to staying on your feet. When you block the punch with your face, when somebody can knock you out, you get knocked out, and he did in the third round. And what happened, happened. We knew it was going to happen. A lot of people thought it was going to go to the end, unanimous decision. But that's just because Kirkland has shown to get beat up in early rounds and then come back. He showed a little comeback in the at the end of the second, beginning of the third, and then he got knocked out. So it's kind of, you know, his boxing style isn't conducive to continuing to fight at a high level. He's just going to get stuck at the level where he is. You know, kind of like several different boxers that we've talked about in the past.
Yeah.
Canelo, I don't think he's ready for that yet. He's a very good boxer. I think he's one of the top boxers in the weight class. But if you're putting him against Cotto, I would take Cotto and his boxing ability. Ever since he's got with Freddie Roach, he's turned, you know, orthodox over being southpaw. He's been able to be very effective. He, you know, with having his strong hand up front, he's taking advantage of with really powerful jabs and that lead left hook. It's just been detrimental to guys. And we saw how that was in Cotto's last fight with the lead hooks. And how he was able to get through that fight. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to it. I think it would be a unanimous decision by Cotto. Canelo's going to fight. I think it's probably going to be really close all the way up to probably around the ninth inning. The funny thing is you might see something similar as far as closeness in the fight, kind of like, I don't know, trying to think of the last fight that was really close that you could have kind of scored down to the end. I had Canelo and Mayweather pretty close there in middle rounds. Points wise, I think all the way up to the eighth, it was fairly close within a couple of points. It could go either way. Looking back over the scores, but I think Canelo will outbox him in the ring, and there's not that speed factor. You know, Canelo doesn't have to worry about the same thing like he did with Floyd. His game was completely thrown off by Mayweather because he's fast. He's a great defensive fighter. He doesn't have to go and get it. He can sit back and box. He can counter punch if he wants to. He can throw his punches. Canelo, I don't think he's going to be able to get the job done against him.
Yeah, Greg, you wanted to touch on this fight for a little bit?
Say what, Jay?
I said you wanted to touch on this fight between Miguel Cotto and Canelo Alvarez?
Yeah, my opinion, I'm going to be honest with you. Nothing against Cotto. I just think Canelo's hand speed, and I think his youth will get past Cotto at this point. I think Cotto's wars will catch up with him, and everybody give Freddie Roach a lot of credit. I mean, Freddie Roach just got him going back to the body. That's what the Cuban trainer failed to do. I mean, to me, he went back and he looked at the tapes of Cotto when he was young, when he was going to the body, and that's what Roach did. He implemented that back in his game plan. But when I look at his opposition, I don't give him a lot of credit for beating the Devin Rodriguez's. And then an inactive Sergio that has knee problems, elbow problems, and everything else. I mean, to me, I haven't seen him really face nobody that I consider that's really legitimate since he got the ropes. You know, I mean, if you listen to Shane Mosley and all these other guys that Canelo has faced, is one thing they always talk about. Nobody gives him credit for being as fast as he is. And the hand speed was different. And I think it'll be the same way for Cotto. And then, you know, I just think that Cotto's wars will catch up with him against the young kid.
Yeah, and the thing is that, you know, Cotto really hasn't, you know, been that active. So, I mean, after his fight with, you know, our guest that we had previously, Austin Trout, you know, he's basically had one fight a year. So it's not like he's, you know, stayed active either in the ring or in the training camps or gyms or anything like that to, you know, kind of touch up on his game a little bit more or, you know, make some adjustments.
He was in the gym.
I mean that's one thing, but that's one thing. But the thing is that you have...
He has a promotion company. He trains with a lot of fighters here in Puerto Rico. It's right here in San Juan.
Yeah, but the thing is that, I mean, he's there, and he's basically, you know, he says that he's staying in shape or whatever it is, but when he came in there against Daniel Gale, he was there at, you know, 153.5 pounds. So that's, you know, basically his, that's basically what his in-fight weight has been for, like, within that range. I think Canelo still can grow a little bit more into his frame. So he's, like, right now at 155, 156, and he could get to probably around 157 or so. And, you know, with that, he'll basically be able to come into his own as a fighter within that weight range. And I said before, and I'll say it again, if this fight, you know, comes together, this is going to be like Cotto Margarito, but, you know, Canelo's not going to have plastic gloves, one, and then two, this is a much younger guy that Cotto's facing. You know, so once you have those two guys there, that's why I favor Canelo.
See, that's why I want it. See, that's what gets me excited about the fight, though, James, is because he is younger. And I know Canelo is talented, and I know he's, you know, honestly, with what Canelo's gone through and who he's fought, I think he's closer being the next face of boxing than Thurman, you know, as far as what we know mainstream. I think he's closer to it than Thurman is.
People
won't get mad about that, they can. You know?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. I mean, he's probably the most marketable guy that's out there right now, you know, with the exception of Floyd. I think Canelo would be the most marketable guy as far as, like, a pay-per-view draw. It's just that, you know, you just have to be able to give him the lucrative fights and the more attractive fights that would be out there.
Obviously, that weight, you're not going to get, like, Pacquiao. You probably won't get Bradley. Maybe you will. You can get Danny Garcia and Lamont Patterson, though. He can get those fights. I mean, I'd like to see those. You don't think so?
Because for one, Danny Garcia is barely a welterweight. I mean, he's going into his first fight as a welterweight on August 1st. That's number one. And then number two.
Yeah. Maybe.
Number two is both of them are managed by Al Heyman, and Al Heyman ain't going to have no fighters from his stable fighting anybody from Oscar's stable. So, that's definitely out. Yeah, I know. So, the thing is that either, you know, if you have somebody like, maybe... the middleweight championship that Lemieux got. It's like one of the minor championships, but Lemieux got like the IBF middleweight championship, and he recently signed with Golden Boy. So, as far as you know, that is concerned. If Cotto and Canelo basically fight each other, and then the winner of that faces David Lemieux for title unification. But I mean,
what's up with Ali? What's his name? Salim Ali, the Olympian. What's up with him?
Saddam Ali. He beat Khan.
He beat, you know. He's seen fighting some decent fights. He's ranked up there, but who has he fought lately? He should be on Subway commercials.
He might fight Timothy Bradley. He might fight Timothy Bradley for that WBO welterweight championship that he has. So that may be a possibility for him. He's there with 22 wins, but it's up in the air as far as like which fighters he'll be able to fight at welterweight. So that's the thing with Saddam Ali. Say him at welterweight, he'll be able to go against the guys like, Bradley or Kell Brook or something like that, maybe, and see what he does against those guys.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to see, what other possible things are out there within the near future.
Not to kind of go too far back into the last hour, but I really would like to see Jennings fight against Wilder before Wilder fight, his number one contender. See, I think it should still be like a top 10, top 15 guy. I'd like to see him fight Jennings. I think that would be big because, they're two guys from the U.S. And I bet that would be a good fight. Just because Jennings has a heart.
It would probably be a good fight. Jennings was able to, hang with him.
Or Anthony Joshua, which I don't think he'll take that fight. But he's up there.
That's not going to happen for... If anything, I don't see that fight happening for another 14 to 16 months. To be honest with you, I don't see that fight happening for over a year from now because, you have Wilder, facing somebody in September, and then he'll fight, Povetkin, a little bit of a break, until then. And that'll be his next fight. And Joshua will probably be the number one contender after that fight. But I think that, they'll put Wilder in there against Joshua right after Wilder against Povetkin. So I really don't see that happening for a good while, actually. Yeah. Hey, Greg, you still on now?
Yeah, bro.
I
don't see Joshua and Wilder fighting for some time. I mean, I'm like him. I would love to see it. I don't think Wilder wants that fight. I mean, he'll take it in another, 15, 16 months just because the purse will be worth both of them's while. But, I don't know. And I think he's too rangy for Jennings. I mean, Jennings, to me, he's not a heavyweight. I think Jennings would probably be better off going down a weight class. I just think Deontay's length would cause him tremendous problems.
Right. I think his length would be a major factor, too, Wilder and Jennings fought. So that would be a major disadvantage for Brian Jennings to deal with. It might be, similar to Blaise Lottemier, who had that reach and height advantage against him.
Right.
That would be there. Another thing that is the thing for light heavyweight with Sergey Kovalev facing Najib Mohammadi, you know, at the end of this month. Najib is, you know, one of the top contenders there in WBA and IBF going against Sergey Kovalev. But, you know, I have Crusher as one of my top guys as far as pound for pound is concerned. So I don't think that Mohammadi would really do much against Kovalev. And I think Kovalev will be able to score this win, one, and then two, you know, look forward to bigger and better things, which may not involve, you know, Adonis Stevenson, but it might involve Andre Ward in the future. Because I heard that, you know, Kovalev's promoter, Kathy Duva, wanted to work with Andre Ward and Rock Nation to see if they could get a fight done, you know, sometime next year for the light heavyweight titles that Kovalev has. So, y'all have any thoughts on that one?
I would love to see it. I mean, I would love to see it, especially if Kovalev, if him and Adonis can't hook up, why not? I think it will be interesting.
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting too. Let's see, you know, because it seems that they really can't get that fight between Kovalev and Stevenson together. So that'll basically fall through, and Andre Ward is, you know, basically caught in the middle here between being a light heavyweight and being a super middleweight, as you know, there really isn't that many guys out there for a super middleweight for him to face. You know, he's basically beaten all the big guys at super middleweight years ago. And the new guys that have come in, you know, really don't garner that much interest, you know, inside and outside the ring. So, like somebody like a Badu Jack or, you know, George Rhodes or, you know, somebody like that, a James DeGale, probably won't pull up enough interest for fight fans to be able to watch those potential matchups. So maybe best for him to move up to light heavyweight and, you know, test the waters there. What would be interesting is if you see Andre Ward fight another guy that will be on the card at the end of July, and that's John Pascal. Pascal versus Ward at light heavyweight would be an interesting fight before the end of the year to see if Ward can basically hold himself up at the light heavyweight division. So that's something that could potentially be in the future there for Andre Ward. Hopefully him and Rock Nation will be able to put that together maybe for October, and say, you know, have a double header or something like that, you know, Andre Ward versus John Pascal in October, and then have a Kovalev fight later on, and then, you know, whoever comes out of that basically fights next year for those light-heavyweight belts. Hey, Matt, are you still on? Hold on, Matt, you there?
I was seeing if I could get you on here because
you know, earlier we had Clausel Mathis give a report on the card that was on Premier Boxing Champions here on ESPN. I was seeing here if you caught the main event, and what were your quick thoughts on that one?
Oh, yeah. Here's the thing. I really like Keith Thurman. He's a good young fighter. He needs to keep pushing forward, but the thing that bothers me so much, I mean, he is more of a total package than a lot of fighters out there, but he needs to work on some of his footwork. He needs to work on, you know, his defensive fighting. It's just those things that it's just the basic stuff. I think right now, I don't know if he's working on too many things and not focusing on the basics, but right now, this year, him getting hurt in the fifth round against Luis Collazo, I didn't think Collazo was going to give him anything. I didn't think he was going to run him over. He was trying to knock him out from the get-go. If he was going to get the knockout, he would. But I thought it would probably be closer to, like, the eighth or ninth round if he did. But I expected this to go the distance, you know. I didn't see a knockout coming in this. Obviously, he lost. He won due to stoppage because of the cut over his eye. But, you know, I think this should be a wake-up call for him, to be honest with you. You know, he's hyped up over the win. He should be. You win however – you take the wins however you get them. But – you know, I think we were talking, you commented earlier. I mean, even in the fight against Guerrero, the fight before that, and the fight before that against Diaz. So the last four fights, you've noticed he's been really flat-footed at
right.
points in the fight. He doesn't keep his hands up like he should. His reaction seems to be a little slow and sometimes, although he patted himself on the back, because if you go over to YouTube, just type in Matt Long Sports, all one word. You can see the post fight, all the post fight interviews over there. He made some comments. He patted himself on the back for some good boxing, some good defensive boxing, where he moved out of the way of some punches. I think he still needs to work on that quite a bit. He does a good job of creating a lot of different angles, but sometimes when you're doing too much, you leave yourself open. He left his whole left side open, and if Luis Collazo, a veteran fighter, a guy that's held titles in the past, if he's seeing that, I mean, imagine what's going to happen if he's not ready for Mayweather. You know, him and Marikan, I don't know. Some tells you that's just a throw fight. You never know who's going to win that fight. I don't think he's going to beat Patterson right or Porter right now. I don't think he beats Porter. I think Porter will take him to task right now. Probably go the distance, but he'll take him to task. You know, who knows? I mean, even we might see his next fight. He might as well fight like some of these other former champions and stuff like that. He should probably fight Magnelli. Maybe he should get him next. You know, he's talking about all these. Yeah. Yeah, Melanazzi, yeah. Maybe he should get him because he wants to fight ex-champ. It seems like he prides himself fighting ex-champ, you know. That's fine. He can. He can take pride in that. That's good. He should take pride in that. He's beating guys that are, you know, they're world-class guys, you know, maybe on the down slope. Who's to judge that? He's still going in. He's winning fights, but... How is he winning the fight? Is he looking good in these fights? Is he just getting by? You know, it's not that. I feel like he's trying to be so much. It's like he wants to be that switch hitter, but he's clearly better batting right-handed. But he really wants to bat left. He really wants to be a slugger left-handed. But it just seems like he kind of. I don't know. I just feel like he does too much sometimes. Just too much. I feel like he needs to reel it in. Reel it in a little bit. But he's very talented. He has a lot of heart. And I'll give him credit. He took a tremendous body blow, and he didn't drop. He bent over, but he didn't drop. I mean, there's a lot of guys that would have knelt down. They would have knelt down. They would have taken their 8 seconds, but he didn't do that. I mean, he fought through it. I mean, he ran around a little bit, did a little holding, but he didn't take a knee.
He didn't take a knee to get his eight. That body shot is basically like you know, going way back when Miguel Cotto for Shane Mosley. And, you know, late in like the seventh or eighth round, you know, Cotto was, you know, rocked by a shot by Mosley. And he basically, you know, ran, you know, backed up, got around the ropes and, you know, kind of clinched a little bit to try to get through that round because, you know, he knew that he was in real trouble after taking that shot.
Is he Thurman? You know, he was sketchy that next round in the sixth. He looked really leery of it. But by the time the end of the sixth, beginning of the seventh came around, I put this, I have an article up over on thechtonsports.com. He talks about in the presser, and I have a video on the article too, if they want to listen to that too, or watch it, whichever one. He talks about the rib injury. And he was good. He was good in the seventh round. You could see that it wasn't really bothering him anymore. He was pretty much back to what he was doing, got back into his groove. He had shaken it off. And he said between, on a scale of 1 to 10, after the fight, he was at about a 2, a 1.5 or 2, as far as how much it hurt, how much it bothered him at all. He took deep breaths. I couldn't hear any wheezing or anything, any sort of hesitation in the breaths from what I hear. Again, you know, it's, The audio isn't obviously, you know, a dynamic microphone or anything like that, but yeah.
Right.
You can see usually people wincing or something like that, if there's some sort of pain taking deep breaths like that, and it didn't seem to bother him at all at that point in time. So if he says 1.5, 2, really no reason not to believe him, but I don't think, if I was Floyd and I saw that fight, I'd be like, yeah, this. No, people aren't going to pay to see him after this fight, not to see him fight me after this fight. It's not going to give me enough money. And I don't think Sean Porter will bring people for boxing, but, you know, the casual fan, he's not going to sign Porter. Amir Khan probably will bring some people from overseas, but,
well,
this is where it is. It's why we haven't heard who he's fighting yet, because we don't know, he doesn't know who's going to bring in the most money. Because he's running into the dilemma, you know, who are those? Because he needs those casual fans. That's where he gets his money. He gets these casual
right.
fans to buy in on the fights. And if he has to go through a whole background and teach everybody who this fighter is, it makes it a lot more difficult to sell, you know?
Well, you'll have to get involved again. Here's the thing, though, with Sean Porter. They had, like, you know, reports about the fight that they had, you know, he had against Adrian Broner. And those reports are, like, you know, pretty good as far as, you know, in-gate sales and, you know, viewership. So if you get some of those guys that, you know, or some of those people that, you know, watch it on TV or the live gate, then you could probably get, you know, pretty good interest in a Floyd Mayweather versus Keith Thurman. I mean, not Keith Thurman, but Floyd Mayweather versus Sean Porter fight. Because, I mean, with the positive results as far as viewership and on-site, you know, tickets for that June 20th fight against Adrian Broner, I mean, you know, maybe he could get something out of, you know, fighting Sean Porter. Maybe, you know, I would say 35, 40 million maybe, you know, just for starters on that. So that's a possible. Hey, Greg, you were
well, this is what I would do. Go ahead.
Thing is, if you look at casual fans don't know who Keith Thurman is or Sean Porter. I mean, the biggest thing for Mayweather is what's going to determine what Mayweather does is going to be one of two things. If Mayweather's going to fight on free TV, yeah, you can fight the Thurmans or the Sean Porters, all right? Now, if Mayweather's going to fight for the money, he's going to have to fight Amir Khan just because of what he brings from overseas, right? But
right.
Like I say, casual fans ain't going to buy into Keith Thurman. All they talking about is the Triple G, right? they're not going to buy into him. Hey, Jay, you know, Thurman walks around. Nobody goes crazy over Thurman. You know,
right.
I mean, when you see him out, everebody don't even know who Keith Thurman is.
Yeah, it's only a few people know who Keith Thurman is. I mean, you can see
Kansas
that.
Fans is not
going to
buy
Brand.
Into him. Yeah, they're not going to buy into him. So, like I say, the kicker is going to be two things. Whether or not it's on free TV or if they're going to try to do pay-per-view. And if they're going to do pay-per-view, I mean, it's got to be the front runner just because we already know the guys across the pond will come out and they will support, right?
That's number one.
So, I mean, that's the only thing that's going to determine it because neither one of those guys are going to draw no casual fans. Because now all you hear from the casual fans is, like I say, the Triple G, Triple G, Triple G. You don't hear anything about anybody else.
Yeah. I agree. We haven't really got too much into who Mayweather's next guy, his next opponent will be. I think Triple G is probably his best bet because he's on an upswing right now in popularity. People will pay. Pakistani fighters, they are all tough fighters. I remember you can even go into their amateur rankings, and they have some really good amateurs that are going to be in the Olympics this coming Olympics in London. They're going to have some really good fighters there. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. So Triple G, you know, I already kind of know from where he's from what kind of boxing you can expect from him. And he's on the rise. He'll get the overseas stuff. People respect his fighting in Europe. So you'll get the Russians, you'll get East and Western Europe because Kazakhstan's right there in the middle. You can get an Asian draw from there too. So he probably is a pretty good money draw. He might be, in a sense, he might be a bit of a more of a risk than Amir Khan. Amir Khan, again, he'll probably bring some decent money, but I don't see Floyd, because his fight is scheduled to, he's scheduled for to fight in Wembley, right? Amir Khan?
Sure.
Isn't Amir Khan scheduled to fight in Wembley in September or whatever?
Well, I don't know about that one.
No, I haven't seen
it. He said his next fight was going to be in Wembley. I thought I read a report. His next fight's going to be in Wembley.
No, I haven't saw that myself.
I'll have to double check that. But Amir Khan would be the next bet. I mean, he's not going to get the draw from American fighters. If he does, he's going to have to hit up ESPN, first of all. And they're going to have to do a joint with NBC. Because not everybody gets the ESPN. So ESPN and NBC are going to have to both air the fight together. That means having Al Haymon get his hand in it. And they'll probably also broadcast on HBO too, because HBO is going to want to sell some money on it too and do there. And they're going to have to do one of those dual headline broadcasts, you know. And then all the playbacks will be on HBO on premium cable. And you probably won't see any playbacks on ESPN unless it's, you know, later in the –
My thing is that I kind of doubt that it will be. I doubt that it'll be on free TV, even though some of us have hit it on it. But you know, if he fights Khan, that's not going to be on free TV. That'll be pay per view. That'll be on pay per view, Showtime pay per view, and Sky Sports overseas is going to be all over it. So you're going to have the buy rate from Showtime pay-per-view, and then you're going to have Sky Sports on it.
Yeah.
So that's the thing with that one is that, you know, you'll have, you know, those two as far as, like, the major markets televising that event. And just have Khan versus Mayweather and then stack the undercard, and then there you have it. So, yeah, that's something about, you know, those. Maybe the reach that he'll have. That's pretty much going to be, you know, my favorite as far as who Floyd Mayweather is going to fight. And that announcement is probably going to be coming in real soon because we're coming up to 8 weeks before that fight is going to take place. I would say to get ready for anything like that, you would need basically about 7 to 6 weeks for training, promotion, and that type of thing. They're going to, if Floyd actually goes forward and says that, you know, this is his last go-round, then he's going to have, you know, a whole promotional tour for it, and that promotional tour will be pretty big, you know. So that's my thing on that.
You don't think he'll pass Amir and go for Kell Brooks? Maybe throw the wild card? Kell Brooks,
that
kind of on that upswing, too.
That makes a lot of sense.
Might be a better fight.
Yeah,
might be
a
better fight, to be honest
with
you.
It may be a better fight, but the thing that takes me off of having Kell Brook as a possibility is that, you know, Floyd Mayweather's intention on dropping the belts. If he didn't have that intention on dropping the belts that he had, then I would definitely say that Kell Brook would be amongst the guys that, you know, he would face in September. But if he's really intending on dropping the belt, then yeah, I don't see that one happening. So yeah, that was my thing on that. Well, I'd say pretty much, yeah, we're pretty much like close the show out. You just get some closing remarks here. First, I'll start off with you, Matt.
I want people to check out. We got a lot of content from this weekend, a lot of remarks from Keith Thurman. So if y'all listening and you don't know who Keith Thurman is and you want to hear his take on boxing, go on over to the YouTube page, search in YouTube Matt Long Sports all together. Got a bunch of cuts over there. And the CHTNSports.com. We got some stuff up over there, including Antonio Tarver, he wants to eye a shot at the heavyweight title. So I didn't say nothing about that earlier, but he wants the Wilder Klitschko. We don't know if that'll happen, but he has to get past Cunningham here in August 14th. So yeah, check out the stuff we got over there. I know James has a lot of good stuff he's put up. Consistently puts up. So other than that, I want to see Jennings and Wilder fight. Just because on free TV, I just want to see that.
Yeah. All right, Greg, you got something to say? Sweet on. Oh, Greg, you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
No, I'm here. Yeah, I mean.
You had something to say?
Say what?
I was saying you had something to say before we roll out.
Nah, I mean, pretty good show. I mean, but like I say, man, the novice fans, the casual fans, they're not on the Keith. I mean, that's why I don't know if that'll happen yet. And if it do, just be because Floyd see that it's easy pickings and it's a big name that everybody's talking about, but I don't see that happening. If I was Floyd, I'd jump on him just because everybody think he's something special, but he gets no benefit out of beating him because the moment he beats him, they're going to say, oh, he wasn't ready. You know, so I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I'm waiting to see who he's going to name just like everybody else.
Yeah.
But I enjoy the show. Hey, we'll do it again next Sunday.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. All right, gotcha. Yeah. So for me, I mean, to close out, like I said, we'll probably be looking forward to probably within this week or next week as to who Floyd Mayweather will end up fighting on September 12th at the MGM Grand Garden Arena there. So, and like I said before, I favor Amir Khan for that fight, you know, for marketing purposes here and overseas. That whole thing with Kareem Mayfield and Andre Berto, I think that was basically all for show. He'll probably want to maximize this fight if it's actually going to be his last fight for his career. I mean, we know that it will be the last one for the contract that he has with MGM Grand Garden Arena and CBS Showtime. So those two things will be ending. You'll probably try to maximize that to not only keep him satisfied, but to keep his other people satisfied that he's involved with that contract. As far as the next couple of weeks are concerned, like I said, you look forward to Sergey Kovalev defending his light heavyweight championships against Najib Mohammadi, and we'll be looking towards the next month when we see Danny Garcia in his first fight at 147 against Marlon Malignaggi. And I do want to, like, note that we have here Matthew Long that's been on the line talking with us. Y'all make sure that you tune in to his shows every Tuesday night at 8:30 here on the MRN Broadcasting Channel on Blog Talk Radio, The Cold Hard Truth on Sports. And check out the website, thechonsports.com. And also, Wednesdays, 8:30 p.m., CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show, where we have Kelly Mike, Clausel Mathis, Mouth of the South, Tony Watley, and Chi-Town there. So be sure to check that out on the network MRN Broadcasting Channel here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, you'll be able to catch this full show later on here on Blog Talk Radio, and the podcast will be on boxing.fm. Once again, boxing.fm. So you'll be able to catch that. On that note, I will close it out. And like I always say, in boxing, it's to hit and not get hit, not to stand and trade. On that note, folks, I'm out. Have a good evening.